Welcome to this week's edition of the show. Another great weekend of college football scheduled for you. Auburn is playing Arkansas at home. Alabama trying to bounce back from last week's loss to South Carolina at home against Ole Miss. Georgia, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, South Carolina, McNeese State, LSU, and Mississippi State plays at Florida. Jay Barker joins us. Of course, he is the former Alabama quarterback, 1992 National Championship team, and the current host of The Opening Drive, which can be heard on WJOX 94.5 in Birmingham. Jay, how are you doing?
Jacob, great. Great to be on. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this Alabama team. You won a national championship, went undefeated. You understand how these players feel and how they feel after a loss, even though I know you didn't play in the LSU game in 1993, but you understand the feeling. Just describe what they're going through right now.
Yeah, locker room's different. I mean, after the game, definitely. I mean, it's a different feeling than what you felt before, and I think that, you know, for the guys, it's kind of like, you know, we haven't been here in a while, or we haven't been here before for some of the players there at Alabama. For me, it was really kind of the tie game against Tennessee, even though that game at Birmingham, we ended up tying them and not losing the game. It wasn't quite a feeling as it was in the locker room against LSU, and for me, it felt even worse because I didn't get a chance to get out there and do anything. I mean, I didn't have a chance to make a difference in that game. It felt like that I'd somewhat left my, you know, kind of let my teammates down, and
right.
I knew that I didn't, but at the same time, just felt like that, you know, I needed to want to be out there and be a part of that. But it's tough. I mean, these guys have to, you know, psychologically rebound from it emotionally and just put it behind them. I mean, it's just like every week they've had to put the wins behind them. Now they got to put this one behind them the same way, move to the next one, and the next game is the one that matters the most.
Jay, Mark Ingram came out on Monday and said that he felt that some of the players had been taking this for granted and just having lackadaisical practice. Does success breed that, or is it just something that you have to fight every season?
I think success can breed it at times because I think the younger guys think, well, you know, hey, we're just used to showing up and winning, and they don't realize all the hard work that went into it for the older guys that have, you know, prepared and just worked their tails off week in and week out, the things that really went into it. And you walk into a situation where everybody's being praised, and, you know, a lot of those guys came into a tough situation after, you know, Shula was gone and Nick Saban had stepped in, and they had a great start to their season, and everything kind of, the wheels fell off at the end with some suspensions of players with all the textbook stuff and some other injuries and factors that you know, allowed that to happen. And, you know, they had to work through that emotionally, mentally, psychologically. They had to prepare themselves, and, you know, those guys came back and worked their tails off to win a national championship, to be the best in the country, to win 14 straight games, and to prove that they were the best on the field. And it wasn't just about putting on the crimson jersey. It wasn't just about saying, hey, we can go out and win this game. They worked for it. And I think that that's the message that Mark was sending, was, look, we've got to get back at it, work at it. Younger guys that, you know, don't have the experience, you've got to prepare. And a lot of times, guys, preparation is not just physically, it's mentally. You know, it's about going in the film room, spending extra time looking at tape, making sure that you know all your assignments, and if something comes at you that you're prepared for, that you're not, you know, in a sense thinking about it, but rather reacting to it out there on the football field. So I'm sure just for him wanting to throw a challenge to those young guys to prepare themselves in every way to be a champion out there each and every week.
Chatting with Jay Barker, former Alabama quarterback and current host of The Opening Drive. Jay, you know, you cover the BCS. You do that now for a living. You understand what it takes to get to the BCS. How does Alabama get back in the race for the national championship, and do you think they can?
I definitely think they can. I think we talked about at the beginning of the year that probably it could end up being a one-loss team. I think the scenarios everybody drew up was, okay, Alabama and Florida play, you know, in that game early in the season, and one of those teams are going to lose, and then they'll probably face off against each other in the SEC championship game. Now, you know, that could still happen. Florida now has two losses, and that's going to be tough to Alabama and to LSU, who can end up being the two best teams in the Western Division. But then you got Auburn is playing so well right now at 6-0. You've got also Arkansas, and they face up this weekend. We'll see, you know, a lot of what's going to happen between these two teams. But, you know, the thing about, you know, for Alabama, I think that the biggest thing for them and for Alabama fans is, you know, we kind of need to be, not kind of, we need to be rooting for Auburn to finish undefeated until they get to us. They need to make sure that they're rooting for South Carolina to stay a one-loss team. If they get to Auburn and Alabama continues to win, and they can beat an undefeated Auburn team that's going to be highly ranked, turn around and beat a South Carolina team that will be highly ranked in the SEC championship game, then they've got a shot to get back in the national picture. Now, some things got to happen in front of them, and there's a possibility some of those things can happen. I think if the major conference schools end up undefeated, it's going to be tough for Alabama to jump those guys, even though they play in an SEC championship game. Now, if it's Boise State, TCU, Utah, some of these other teams, I think that Alabama's got a great shot at jumping those teams based on the type of conference and the type of schedule that they play.
Well, I mean, you realize what you're asking, right, Jay? I mean, Alabama fans pulling for Auburn and LSU.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I think the pull for is just you just pull that for the fact that you want an undefeated team. You pull for the fact that you want a higher BCS ranking team coming in at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And once you get to it, you focus on Auburn. So.
Finally, Jay, a key to victory this week, a very, very explosive offense in Ole Miss. They have Jeremiah Masoli, who can run and pass, and then, of course, Brandon Bolden, an excellent running back. What do you think the key is going to be to Alabama?
No doubt. It's like, you know, we talked to, I forget who it was this early this week. Phil Savage, I think it was, color analyst for the Crimson Tide. It's, you know, it's like a pinball machine. He said everything's coming from all different directions, formations, the way that they get to certain plays, the amount of plays, the just guys running all over the field. Masoli is a talented quarterback. We saw the numbers he put up at Oregon. He's a guy that can always throw it. He can also run it. And Alabama understands that. I think that, you know, for them, it's about, you know, making sure that Ole Miss, which I think with any team in the SEC, doesn't have a passing game. He doesn't have a running game. He shut down the run early. Be able to run the football, you know, get back to what, you know, Alabama's known for, and that's Mark and Trent, the 1-2 punch. Then offer that play action pass with the big plays down the field for those explosive plays that McElroy and the receivers have been so good at all season long, except for this past game against South Carolina. But just get back to doing what they do best, you know. Right. And I think, you know, you look at a team like Ole Miss that's averaging 37 points a game. Alabama's averaging 35, but Alabama's defense is definitely holding teams to less numbers than Ole Miss right now. So the matchup on paper looks good. It looks like it could be an exciting matchup as far as offensive production. But at the same time, I think Alabama needs to get back to holding, you know, their opponents to, you know, 13, 14 points and, you know, not allowing Ole Miss to put up the big numbers. And, you know, and especially at homecoming, after a loss, you want to come back and really strike early and get out there and get up on a team like this and keep your crowd in the game and gain back some of that confidence or whatever it is that you need to get back in order to perform at the level Alabama was performing at the beginning of the season up until the game against South Carolina. So hopefully they've learned through Arkansas, South Carolina, and even the Florida game some things they need to work on, and hopefully we'll see a better football team because of the loss and see a team that's more united, has even a better chemistry playing together.
Well, that's what a lot around here are hoping. Jay, very much appreciate your time.
Most definitely. Enjoyed it. Thank you, Jacob.
All right, thanks. Jay Barker, former Alabama quarterback, of course, and host of The Opening Drive, as I mentioned, which can be heard on WJOX 94.5 every weekday in Birmingham and jocksfm.com. Want to follow up on anything Jay said?
Earlier today on the roundtable, today being Thursday, Tyler Watts was talking about how Alabama needs to start going deep again to get people out of the box because you can't have those underneath routes that Bama has been using against various teams with Darius Hanks underneath and Marquise Mays underneath without having a legitimate deep threat, someone that'll take everybody out and make those safeties respect the deep ball. Until they start doing that again, Bama's going to have to worry about 8-9 men in the box.
Absolutely. Well, let's get to it. David Sears, what we do each week is preview and predict the upcoming week's worth of games, and there are only six games this week.
You mean all 12 teams are playing?
Everybody but Tennessee. McNeese State and LSU play.
Someone has a bye before Alabama?
It's interesting. The national columnists are now coming out and saying, well, we may have been, you know, it may not been such a bad obsession in the offseason. You know, there may be something to this after seeing what Alabama did last week.
Well, Wall Street Journal just absolutely ripped them, saying that's no excuse whatsoever, but what do you expect from the Wall Street Journal?
Well, that's where I go for all of my everything college football, Wall Street Journal.
That's correct.
Well, there's a lot of great games we could delve into. We'll start with Auburn. What do you think is going to be the key for the Tigers this week as they try to fend off Ryan Mallett and the Arkansas offense? I mean, Cam Newton's been unstoppable. What do you think?
I think we're going to see if Cam Newton can come and just live in a big national spotlight. This will be his biggest audience. He will be on national televised during the afternoon. He's been doing a lot of night games where he's been on ESPN, ESPN2, but this is CBS, which is the national SEC showcase. I think that Auburn's defense will be tested. Their secondary is very suspect, but I think in the end you've got a great quarterback for each side, and the game's going to come down to who has the ball last. And we saw last week with Auburn, you give them 7 minutes, they can run that zone read and just eat up all the time, kick the field goal to win. I think Auburn keeps that magic going, and we see the Auburn Tigers at 7-0 heading into a huge showdown with a 6-1 LSU who loses to McNeese State on some random They line up for a fake punt on a fourth and goal. It hits the crossbar. I kid you. LSU is going to win.
Wow.
It's going to be a 7-0 showdown next week on the Plains. Huge right. game. And tickets are still available because LSU fans have sent theirs back. They're not going to travel to Auburn.
Well, yeah, I initially before the season predicted that Arkansas would win this game, and I'm going to stick to that prediction because, I mean, I predicted something before the season last week, and I changed it.
You did call the South Carolina game, and if I hadn't opened my big mouth during your prediction, we could play it for everybody.
I wouldn't want to do that. But no, Ryan Mallett has been having nightmares for 2 weeks now about the interceptions that he threw to Robert Lester and others 3 weeks ago in Fayetteville. So I think Arkansas is going to come out and show Auburn that it still can play and it's still a legitimate threat in the SEC West. And yeah, Cam Newton is excellent, but at some point, David, somebody's going to stop Cam Newton. Somebody's going to completely lock in
on keeping him
from running.
We had this conversation, I believe, for 3 years about someone will eventually stop Tim Tebow. Someone will stop Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It took 3 years for someone to figure out how to stop Tim Tebow.
Three years and the best defensive minds there are.
Exactly. So I think Cam Newton right now is that unstoppable juggernaut. And he, until someone finds a way to knock him back and keep him from falling forward for an extra yard or two every time you tackle him, he's an unstoppable force. You got to give the Auburn Tigers, as much as it pains me to say, you got to give them the edge here.
Well, we differ on the first one. I told him the other day we're going to have to do better this week. We did a pretty atrocious job.
How about you pick one team and I pick the other team?
I got Arkansas and you have Auburn on that
one.
One
of us will be right.
All right, let's go to Tuscaloosa and Alabama trying to bounce back from last week's loss. Ole Miss comes into the game. Sometimes we see a great Ole Miss offense, and sometimes we see an Ole Miss defense that gives up the game, as we saw against Jacksonville State.
Do you think Poe has a target on his back for his comments about Alabama's been exposed?
I mean, that was smart, wasn't it? As if Alabama needs anything else to be motivated about. Let's
rattle
give them
the
one
cage.
More thing.
Rattle the cage with the lock being suspect. That's a good idea and strategy. I think Alabama gets their act together. Part of me was really thinking that they may just have a lull here and have another huge letdown and have a two-game losing streak. But then I believe the talk that everybody is doing right now, they seem more focused. Maybe they needed that wake-up call. Maybe they were getting too complacent and too lackadaisical. And now they realize glory is not guaranteed.
Right.
Championships are not guaranteed. You have to put in the work. We'll see if that secondary can shore up. They looked very suspect last week. We had a lot of missed tackles on the defensive side of the ball, and the offense just went away from their identity. I bet they run the ball at least 35 times. It's got to happen because Alabama's bread and butter is a physical run game. That sets up the pass. They run to set up the pass. They don't pass to set up the run. And until they use their two best weapons in Richardson and Ingram, I think there's going to be a lot of people getting very upset with Jim McElwain. I don't think it's justified, but what are fans but fanatics?
That's true, and I like Alabama by 9.
I don't know if I'd say that much. I'd say 12.
Okay. Moving on now to the Swamp, Florida hosting Mississippi State. Florida has been kicked now for 2 straight weeks, and let's be honest, last week's game was a blow. I know Alabama was a blowout because of the score. Well, last week's game was a blowout too. The score did not reflect how much of a one-sided game it was. Florida had some fortunate plays go their way, but I like Florida all over Mississippi State.
I disagree. I really think Mississippi State's starting to get their act together. They caught Georgia at the right moment. I think they're catching Florida at the right moment. Florida looks very, very suspect on defense. They look like they would fall apart. You've got Dan Mullen making his return.
Nobody
to the
knows
swamp.
The Florida offense better than him.
And I mean, Adazio's play calling has been leaving a lot to be desired in Florida. He's on the hot seat.
Yeah, I agree.
Meyer has never lost 3 straight at Florida. I think that streak comes to an end. And I like the Mississippi State Bulldogs in an upset.
Really?
I like it. I think it'll be a close game. I don't see the playmakers that Florida needs to make plays. I mean, they've tried it with Burton. They've tried with Brantley. They don't have anything going for them. And if it weren't for 2 LSU turnovers and a blown kickoff coverage, they would not have gotten the 21 points they got last week. I like the Mississippi State Bulldogs in a close one, 35-31.
Well, that's definitely a scientific pick there up. You know, we'll reserve comments until our Tuesday show, and I'll pile on that. I'm not taking any mercy on that one. Georgia hosts Vanderbilt. I mean, you know, Vanderbilt.
Well, I called last week saying the Richt Express was about to just completely and utterly collapse.
Well, we both did.
And what do you know? They pull out a huge game against Tennessee.
You can't predict Georgia.
I'm going to say that this game will depend on the Redneck versus the Saint. And will the Redneck coach of Vanderbilt be able to pull together a pretty decent game plan? Yes.
You think so?
I just don't think that he has the talent to execute the game plan. I like Georgia winning this one, like, I don't know, 35-14, 35-10.
I like that. Yeah, I'm the same way. I think Georgia will handle Vanderbilt. And they have another home game. Yeah, Georgia, slowly but surely, you know, creeping their way back toward bowl eligibility.
They're still not selling out Sanford Stadium. It's one of the most diehard fan bases, and they're not selling it out. So there is discontent among some Georgia fans about Mark Richt. So we'll see. Are they going to start slowly coming back? And will Georgia just start putting everything together and finish out the season on a win streak?
LSU, any problem with McNeese State?
I don't think Les Miles will have to reach into the bag of tricks. I like the new tag.
Well, he might
by
do it
Wimp,
just for fun, you know. You
never Wimp know. Sanderson's new description, the lesticles of Les Miles. So we will see if Les Miles has to rely on tricks. But, I mean, if he struggles with a 1AA school.
There's
no telling with Les Miles, though. I will give you that because he was down 21 points to La Tech 2 years ago.
Well, there isn't. But I don't think they have any struggle with McNeese State. And finally, we come to the last matchup of the week. Of course, South Carolina, probably the most talked about team in college football this week. They go on the road to face a Kentucky team that scared Auburn last week. What's going to be the storyline here?
South Carolina is not used to being a front runner. South Carolina has fallen apart every time they've had the ability to control their own destiny. A few years ago, you had this matchup, and both teams were top 10. And South Carolina completely self-destructed. Stephen Garcia, to me, played the game of his life, had one of the luckiest performances. Everything just went right. He was making the throws that he's never made before. Mm-hmm. I think we have a huge letdown by South Carolina, and they struggle to win against Kentucky. I think it's a really close game. I think we'll see Randall Cobb just put on a huge show. And if he were at any other school, he'd be a Heisman contender. But because he's at Kentucky, he's not going to get the love. But I think South Carolina plays pathetically, and I think they're going to end up probably winning like a 24-17 or 24-20 ball game. I don't see them putting together two top-notch performances in a row, and it wouldn't even surprise me if Kentucky pulled the upset and everyone's like, how in the world did South Carolina do that to Alabama?
I agree. I completely agree, but I am not going to pick Kentucky. I think South Carolina squeaks it out. But I said on a show early this morning, I think South Carolina comes back from possibly even a 10-point deficit in the fourth quarter. I think Kentucky really jumps on them hard after a long week of thinking about beating number one.
I think the Wild Cobb will be seeing a lot, and they'll realize that, you know, Hartline just needs to either throw the ball to Cobb or we need to give the ball directly to Cobb out of the shotgun. We do not need to have a play where Cobb does not touch the ball.
All right, quickly, upset of the week, going national now. What top team do you think is on the verge of getting upset the most?
The sexy pick is Camp Randall Stadium, Wisconsin over Ohio State. I like that. Wisconsin, to me, just they've got something going. They had that tough loss against Michigan State. They rebounded. They'll rebound. I like Wisconsin to win a close one over Ohio State. I just think Terrell Pryor finally self-destructs like he's prone to.
I think, you know, you have to look at Lincoln, Nebraska. Nebraska comes into the game. They're very hyped. Texas has been kicked now for a couple weeks. I like Texas in this game. I think Texas finds a way to regroup and is able to score some touchdowns, and I think they outscore Nebraska.
Texas still doesn't have a running game, and until they get a running game, they're not going to be any decent offense whatsoever. And I think that's the biggest problem with Texas, and until that happens, we're not going to see Texas do anything. I wouldn't be surprised if Texas has a 7-win season.
Well, another great show. David Sears, I'm Jacob Bunn, and thanks to Jay Barker for joining us a little while ago. We will see you next week.